We always recommend Shopify. It took us from an idea to a real business. We got set up, I think, in less than a day. With very little effort, we could just focus on the supply chains and the product development. Shopify gives us the ability to customize without the complexity. We can change something without introducing fragility or having to pay a developer. We're Thirsty Turtle, and we leveled up our business with Shopify.
Start your free trial at shopify.com/au.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Sunday, it only gets worse. Okay, starting that again, I got tongue-tied.
Weren't you born tongue-tied?
I was born tongue-tied. My dad had to cut my tongue with fingernail scissors to undo it.
I love that story.
Going again. This one's for my dad for making me not tongue-tied. I'm going to prove to you that you did the right thing.
Shout out to dad.
Sunday, it only gets worse. My head spiraling downwards. It's Monday in the deep end. That morning that I'm in. So Tuesday is when I say that I worked hard those past days. And I wake up for the next day. That Wednesday when I maxi-sode. That was Weekly by Denton. Shout out to friend of the podcast, Delaney, for recommending that song.
Yeah, thanks, Delaney.
Everyone, I cannot express enough how much I appreciate it when you just send me songs that have the word Monday in them. It makes this bit much easier.
Because one thing about Ian, you got to know, is he hates doing research.
Well, I mean, we've been this bit for like,
totally.
We've gone You've through done like a 35 lot of research.
Songs. I know.
We're scraping the bottom of the barrel at this point.
I know, literally. Someday you're going to run out of Monday songs. We're going to have to write our own.
Truly. Oh my gosh. What a time.
Welcome to your minisode, you all. This episode is a minisode on the episode Brady 2.0.
Heck yeah.
We're going to listen to some peeps' thoughts. Who are you?
My name is Ian Allred, and I'm a mini gleek.
My name is Lena Knatzer. And I'm a mini gleek.
Awesome. So excited to be here.
I totally do that where I like upend every, like all of my shit to make it a question. Is that like a, I don't know. Is that a Utah thing? Is that an America thing? I don't know. Oh my gosh. Sorry. There was a little frog in my throat. At first we have a message from enemy of the podcast, Alex Ared.
Once again, very informal. No greeting.
What does he think he knows us?
Exactly. Who does this man think he is? What does he think he like pseudo helped raised one of us by, you know, being an authority figure in the household that they were growing up in? Disrespectful.
Disrespectful.
All right. Alex says, hearing Lena talk about the forgotten auditioners broke my heart. Oh, sorry. For context.
Okay.
This is about the new Rachel.
Yeah.
He sent this email in the day after we had recorded the minisode. Okay, so everyone, go back in time. We're now the new Rachel. Hearing Lena talk about the forgotten auditioners broke my heart, especially Dubstep Girl. What is this show even about now? Having taught theater in a situation where anyone willing was not only welcome but highly valued because so many had to be dragged along, it makes me so sad thinking of those other kids. The idea of this weird dubstep girl looking for a place where she can belong and then being turned away without even an explanation is so sad. If a kid has passion and desire, then they have something to bring, even if nothing else. That is the most valuable thing in an educational setting. And that is what this is, an educational setting. It's not about trophies, it's about teaching. Sure, have auditions for solos, and maybe even have kids to audition to be part of the competition performance. But to not allow them in the room to learn because they haven't already learned what you are supposed to be teaching them is ridiculous. Eat my poop, Will, and also Ryan Murphy. Caucasian man emoji, Caucasian man emoji. Cutlery emoji, poop emoji. To be fair, this is also why we need better arts funding in schools. They should be able to have a beginner's group and advanced. Oh my God, advanced.
Wait, I thought you were, for a second, I was just looking at the emojis and you read the emojis and then you said, to be fair, this is why we need better arts education in schools. And I thought you were making a comment about the emojis and I was like, oh my God.
Because Alex doesn't know how to write words. He has to use pictures. That's just because I'm such a good actor that I said that sentence very believably.
Totally. I thought you were being like, see, these emojis are terrible. This is why we need better arts education in school, because these emojis need to get better.
People's emojis are not high enough quality. And that is a reflection of the arts funding in our school system.
There it is.
To be fair, this is also why we need better arts funding in schools. They should be able to have a beginner's group and advanced. Settings for competitive skills and settings for beginners. But there isn't money and time given for that. You wouldn't put someone who is learning basic algebra in with people learning calculus and expect them all to progress properly, but we expect that far too often in the arts, or we expect the teacher to break their backs running a billion clubs and classes all by themselves. Bye, period. No sign off, no name, just bye. Disrespectful.
Disrespectful. Yeah. I mean, he did a really good job pseudo-raising me. I don't know.
That is true.
So I guess he's earned this. Whatever. What am I saying? Backing it up. Alex, thank you so much. I absolutely agree, obviously, because you were talking about something I was talking about. So I obviously agree with you. But for real, like, where's this dubstep girl now? It makes me so sad. And they only, like, let in one person when they know they need 12. Like, it is, first of all, effed up. And if I was dubstep girl, I'd be like, I know you guys need 12. Like, what is your deal? And we've had so many plot lines that are like, you know, we have to let everyone in. Mm-hmm. And then to just like blatantly be like, well, this dubstep girl isn't good enough, so let's make fun of her and not let her in the club. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
I makes me sad.
Watching the episode, I was like, eh, whatever, because these characters are written to be extras. And while that is true, I see where you're coming from a lot more now. It is like, you know, the big thing about the Glee Club and also like the big thing about this show was like, it's a show about underdogs and like everyone's welcome. And like the big thing with the club was it like, you know, if you want to be here, you're welcome here. You have a home here. Yeah. And then all of a sudden in this episode, it's like, oh, everyone wants to be here. And actually, we're going to start gatekeeping this place.
Yeah. Which, like, it's Glee Club.
Because, like, the students, you know, learn a lesson. When the students start to, like, make fun of Marley's mom and they kind of lose themselves and, like, they learn a lesson. Mm-hmm. But the fact that they hold auditions and then, like, cut everyone is not part of the plot of like, oh, the Glee Club kind of lost its purpose. It's just like, oh no, it's cool that they get to do this now, that they get to tell these kids who want to be a part of the club, no, you don't get to be here.
Totally. And like, you know, and I think it's a, you know, a story worth telling that like, we only have this many slots in the club. Let's say we can only have 12, which is not true. I've seen Vocal Adrenaline. They have way more than 12. Like, let's say that we only have like, you know, the buses we get only have room for 12 people, right? Like, let's say that. That's not a conversation we were having. And they just let in one person. So they have like, what, 9? And they know that. And that's the thing is, we're going to have to let more people in later.
Yeah.
And then we have dubstep girl, someone who is like, you know, passionate about something. Maybe it's not like a cappella tunes, but like obviously has musical talent, obviously has something to share. And then we give the spot that could have gone to her to, you know, Jake, who like throws ish around. I don't know. It makes me mad. Love you, dubstep girl, forever. I'll never recover. Alex, bye. Up next, we have a message from Alana.
Hello, beautiful people. I'm a random 20-something gleek from Melbourne, Australia. Cue the jingle.
International listener.
I am also in love with the camera angles that Alfonso uses. Like in Womanizer, when the girls are bending to the side and we get a shot of Jake and it's like we are seeing him through Marley's eyes. Also, all the close-ups of everyone's reaction when Jake officially joins the Glee Club. Talking about Womanizer, Unique says Jake is such a bad boy and Womanizer because he has even snuck in and watched the girls' gym class. And then we see him just sitting and watching the girls, which is so creepy. Like, where is the teacher? Wait, there is a teacher, freaking William freaking Schuster, just standing creepily in the background, watching this teenager, watching other teenagers. It's all just creepy and weird. Also, I have a question. I don't know if this is an American high school thing, but is it normal to have gender gym classes? Hope you're both doing well. I'm so proud of you guys. Consensual forehead kisses. Alana, she, her. P.S. Lena should read Written in the Stars by Alexandria Bellaflor if you haven't already.
Alana, as soon as I saw this message, I immediately went to Goodreads, put it on my to-read list, and I'm going to find it as soon as I can. So literally, thank you so much. It sounds like everything I want to read. You guys know me so well. Thank you so much. Did you ever have gendered gym classes in school?
So in middle school, we did have gendered gym classes. You know, it was like you all were in gym together, but the boys were doing one thing and the girls were doing another thing with separate teachers.
Oh, interesting.
In high school, I didn't take gym.
I know, because you took summer gym because you had to have a Glee origin story.
Exactly. I took summer school PE the summer before my freshman year. And summer school PE, everyone was together. But also, like, there weren't that many of us because, like, who the frick is taking summer school PE?
Totally.
So I don't know what high school gym classes are like because I never took one.
I never had gendered gym classes. In junior high, I took a semester each year of gym. And then in high school, I always took the dance classes instead. And those were just inherently gendered because there was only like one boy in any class ever. But I don't think we ever had gendered classes, at least in my district. I don't think that's abnormal, though. Like, I'm not like weirded out by that thought.
Especially because in a lot of schools in the U.S., at least, gym doubles as health class.
Oh, that's true.
And so, you know, they would...
They have to, like, separate us for maturation for some reason.
Yeah, they would need to, like, tell you about your changing body and focus on your changing body and not, like, the other one, you know?
Yeah, that's why I never learned about boners. No, for real. I feel like I remember doing maturation in school and being like, there is a whole world that I like am just not privy to and no one will tell me anything. And like, obviously I didn't, it was like on a need to know basis, obviously, but I was like, what the H is going on? I don't know. And I think I think everyone should be learning about periods, frankly.
Oh, I agree.
Like every single person on earth should know about periods.
I think health class and maturation, you know, is a flawed system. It has a lot of flaws. But I also acknowledge that it should not be a public school's job to teach you about that stuff. They're picking up the slack for the fact that people's families will not teach them about that.
That's true.
It's like, you know, public schools are there to teach you like freaking math, history, and science. Like your family should be a safe space to learn about that stuff. And unfortunately for a lot of people, it's not.
I guess you're right. Oh, man.
To go off other thoughts in this email, Alana, it is so funny that Unique is like, Jake watches the girls' gym class, which you'd assume is like him, you know, like hanging out by the doorway, like being all hot. He fully is sitting dead center in the bleachers as if he's like watching a show, just totally calm and polite sitting there while they're all stretching.
It is so nasty to me. And I don't even think I fully, like, obviously it like is off-putting to watch, but even you, Alana, saying that like Will is like watching this happen and watching these girls just be like gawked at by this young man, it just really pisses me off. It's so gross and yucky.
And Will said, I gotta get that kid in Glee. Shoot.
Will says, dubstep girl, let's get this predator in here.
DeWanda out, Jake in. That's what Will says in that scene.
Oh my gosh, so many good thoughts in here, Alana. Thank you so much for this message. Up next, we have a message from B.
Hello, Gleeks. This is B, she, her from Canada.
International listener!
Hope you're doing well and enjoying the city. I'm writing urgently, as I have always found the disparity between the Britney episodes interesting and Rachel's rendition of Oops, I Did It Again absolutely embarrassing and awkward. The new sexy fake tan Rachel helps you forget that she's 18 really quickly. But if you keep that in mind as you watch the rest of the season, it makes a lot of her plot lines absolutely cringeworthy. I know you guys watch Community, so I'll make a frankly genius comparison. Glee's Britney episodes are like Community's German foosball player episodes. Both shows have weaker fourth seasons. In Glee's case, they're trying to balance both the McKinley High plotlines and the New York plotlines. In Community's case, they had a new writing staff in Dan Harmon's absence. The first Britney episode's comedy hinges not on Britney Spears as a figure, but the premise of collectively having Britney Spears fantasy moments while unconscious at the dentist. In Community's first foosball episode, Foosball and Nocturnal Vigilantism, the joke is about how seriously the German students take foosball because it is literally tiny soccer, and how genuinely hurt Jeff is when he loses to them. In contrast, Britney 2.0 recycles a Britney tribute concept, but immediately goes for low-hanging fruit by making fun of both Britney Spears as a character and Britney Spears as an artist. Similarly, Community's second foosball episode, Alternative History of the German Invasion, mm-hmm. brings back successful Greendale side characters, this time without Nick Kroll, which is already a loss, and immediately jokes about World War II and makes tons of references to Nazi Germany, which I think feels kind of obvious and not as sharp as Community often is. Love the show. Peace and love. B. So great to hear from another patron of the arts. Another fan of Community who just gets it. Who just knows. Yeah, totally. And frankly, you are correct. Mm-hmm. This comparison is absolutely genius and truly like opened my mind while totally. I read it.
I know. Literally, I was thinking about the first foosball episode and how like amazing it is. And I just really like that episode. I love everything with Jeff and Shirley. I love like the Nick Kroll. I love just, you know, mm-hmm. people freaking out about tiny soccer. Like that whole episode is so good. And then bringing back the Germans the second time, it's like, why is this so not good? And it's because they're going for the low hanging fruit and they're yeah. just like making jokes about like real, you know, the real trauma of a nation. And like, you know, I don't know. It's just not as fun.
It's just obvious.
Yeah, totally. It's just obvious. I mean, obviously Nazis, but you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, it's just like, you know, if you find a freaking 12-year-old and you say, make a joke about Britney Spears, the first joke they're going to say is something about a breakdown. Mm-hmm, you find totally. A 12-year-old and you say, make a joke about Germany, that's the first joke they're going to say. It mm-hmm, is, you totally. Know, if it's the first thing out of a 12-year-old's mouth, it's probably not the most creative and interesting joke you could come up with.
Totally, totally, absolutely. This is such an amazing comparison. And I literally, it has opened my eyes. It's just so genius. Oh my gosh.
I love Community. Community season 4. Too. Is a bit of a rough ride, but you know what Community season 4 gave us? The Sophie B. Hawkins episode.
I know, with Sophie B. in it.
And honestly, that episode is so fun that I am willing to look past the numerous below average episodes in that season.
And frankly, I mean, I'll say it. I think the Changnesia is pretty funny, personally. But yeah, I usually stop watching Community now in my rewatches after Childish Gambino leaves just because I can't handle it anymore. But oh my gosh.
This is a hot take because I know a lot of people don't agree with this. I actually really do enjoy season 5.
Yeah,
it's
no,
not
totally.
As good
I
as
do
the
too.
First three, but there's a lot of stuff in season 5 that I really like. Freaking Meow Meow Beans, that changed my life. I always say, I thought it was just okay. I give it 3 Meow Meow Beans. And everyone's like, what the heck are you talking about?
Who says that?
It's when they first come in, the like app developers come in to introduce Meow Meow Beans. And they describe that it's a rating system, whatever, whatever. And the one goes, now, I thought Dean Pelton's introduction was pretty good. I give it 5 Meow Meow Beans. Mm-hmm. And then the other goes, I think it was just okay. I give it 3 Meow Meow Beans. Okay, and then cool. Dean goes, my Meow Meow Beans!
This is a community long con, I swear to God. But I just love this comparison. I think it just makes me very happy. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you,
B. Really
you
appreciate it.
Thank you for your patronage of both this podcast and Community.
Oh, bless you. The Venn diagram that is the Community people and the Glee people, I love those people. Also the people that are just community people, and mostly the people who are just Glee people. I love you guys. But also I love the circle, the cross section. Okay. Mm-hmm. Thanks, B. Love you. See you later. Up next, we have a message from Emily.
Hi, Ian and Lena. I have a headcanon that Mr. Drying Paint didn't understand the meaning of three, and instead understood it for what he hoped it to be. As a Christian, obviously, the first thing he thinks when he hears the number three is the Holy Trinity. Although he probably also thinks of the unholy Trinity from time to time when he reminisces about his physio boners. Here are the lyrics to the song Three. 1, 2, 3. Not only you and me, got 180 degrees and I'm caught in between. Counting 1, 2, 3. Peter, Paul, and Mary. Getting down with 3P. Everybody loves O. Here, the song is talking about how you need to accept that God is all around us, and we are never alone. Who are Peter, Paul, and Mary? Why, two of Jesus' disciples, and the Virgin Mary, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Babe, pick a night to come out and play, if it's all right. What do you say? Merrier the more, triple fun that way, twister on the floor. What do you say? Pick any time, and we can celebrate God. Bring all of your friends and spread his word. Are you in? Living in sin is the new thing. Yeah. Are you in? I am counting. Now, I know you think I may be in trouble here, but this is a warning.
Mm-hmm.
Saying everyone is sinning. Will you come with me and praise God? Are you in? Three is a charm. Two is not the same. I don't see the harm, so are you game? Let's make a team. Make them say my name. Loving the extreme. Now, are you game? We need the entire Trinity. Without one, we are lacking a part of God. There's no harm in putting your faith and love in God. Now, halfway through the verse, it switches to God's perspective. Quote, be part of...
I'm sorry.
Quote, be part of my team. Make them say my name, unquote. And obviously, God is love. So it is the most extreme love. What we do is innocent. Just for fun and nothing meant. If you don't like the company, let's just do it you and me. You and me, or three, or four, on the floor. Obviously, talking about the innocence after baptism as original sin has been forgiven. And talking about being a baby before you learn of Jesus, and how life is just fun, and there's no real meaning behind your actions. If when God first comes into your life, all his love is too overwhelming, you can nurture your bond, just you and God. And then worship with friends and family and pray on the floor.
Absolutely.
So yeah, this song is extremely religious. I wouldn't be surprised if Quinn Season 3 Plot Man first heard it at church. Thanks. Emily from Montreal, she, her.
International listener!
I cannot deal. This email is so funny. Of course. You've opened my eyes. I'm convinced that this song is religious.
Honestly, I think that was Britney's intention.
Right? Oh my God. I love that. That is so funny. And the way you have written this email, Emily, you are so funny and cool. Oh my gosh. What the heck?
The switch to God's perspective. Amazing.
I was really trying to hold it down and get into play along, be into the character of it all, but oh my gosh, I couldn't do it.
I read this email and was like, this is one of the funniest things I've ever read in my life. I'm obsessed with this.
It is really funny.
Oh man. Honestly, hear me out though. You know, never to this extent, but there sure were times in my life where if I liked something, I enjoyed something that I felt wasn't the most wholesome thing,
mm-hmm.
I would always like come up with an interpretation that proved that it actually was wholesome so that I could justify why I enjoyed it.
It reminds me of when you told me that the Like a Prayer from the Madonna episode, song was about third base. And I was like, no, the heck it's not. And you were like, yes, it is. And I was like, no, it's not. And you were like, listen to the lyrics, dude. And I was like, I won't.
You were really, you know, Joe Hart in that one. I know. You said this is about you talking to God and nothing else. I think
that one
else.
Is a little less on the nose. No, okay.
It for sure is. It for sure is. Because Like a Prayer is, I didn't know Like a Prayer was inappropriate until my sister played it in the car. My mom was like, we're not listening to this. And I straight up was like, it's about praying. What?
You said, we love to pray.
I said, in this house, we pray every day. Mom, what are you trying to say?
It's about third base. And you said,
And I said, like baseball?
And she said,
Thank you so much, Emily. This Seriously. Email was life-changing.
Up next, we have a message from Andrew.
Hey, LPC and Ian. My name is Andrew, he, him pronouns. I'm 21 and I'm from the States. I started listening to your podcast at work and caught up right after the first episode of The Glee Project. I never saw The Glee Project, so I didn't have anything to email about since I agreed with everything you had to say. Anyways, I love the pod and it has given me a place to feel less alone. I consider you both my friends and I love hearing everything going on in your lives. You both constantly make me laugh and Lena almost always makes me cry. Like in Grilled Cheeses when you asked Ian if you were going to hell. My heart shattered and I definitely cried bitch baby tears, which means a lot. Also, when Lena got the notification for her apartment, I cried tears of happiness because I was just so happy and felt like I was there celebrating with y'all. Ugh, I love y'all so much. But I'm also writing today because I wanted to thank you so, so much for being such a light and safe space for me. Thank you for always making me laugh, especially in times when I needed it. At the time of writing this, my grandpa has passed away this past weekend, and let me tell you, this shit fucking sucks. And in many, many ways, shit has totally hit the fan, but I've never lost anyone like this before. And your podcast has made me smile and be able to keep everything at bay for a little while as I slip into feeling like I'm with you guys. So I guess I'm also thanking you for providing an escape for me, but I truly love you both so much, and thank you so much for all that you do, and yeah. Andrew,
I can't thank you enough for this email. It means a lot to me that people feel this way and that you feel this way, Andrew, and that we could be, God, any comfort to anyone is, you know, the most truly like special thing in my life. And I am so grateful that you let us know. And I'm just sending you so much love and condolences. And what can you say to that? And yeah. It makes everything, I don't know. Like worth it. I don't know. Not that it's even like, you know, hard to do. That sounds like it's like, you know, but everything. This is just the most special thing in my life and I am eternally grateful. And I like, that's all I've ever wanted ever is to, you know, make someone feel less alone. And that, so thank you, Andrew, for sharing.
Yeah. Andrew, thank you. Just to piggyback off of that, thank you so much for sending this email. We are very glad to be here. We are very honored to be able to help you feel less alone. We're so sorry that you're going through this. If there's one thing I know about Lena Knatzer, one of many things, it is that she is a professional at standing with someone through a hard time and like, A, you know, being there to like, vent with and like work through your hard feelings, but then also being there when like everything is too overwhelming and you're like, I need to think about something else, and just like distracting you and entertaining you. Like, I can't tell you the amount of times where I have been like crawling out of my skin and been like, I'm gonna die, and then Lena's like, cool, wanna come over and we'll just like hang out and watch something. So genuinely, like, I think that's just like your calling in life, one of many. And I'm glad that in some way you, and like, you know, also me, because like I help with this podcast, but I just like am glad that I think that is like truly such a big gift that you have. And I'm glad that, you know, it can be shared to so many people that you're not like coming in contact to face to face. And Andrew, thank you so much for like reaching out and expressing this. Mm-hmm. It's just very gratifying to know that people feel this way. I don't know if any of that made sense, but thank you for this email.
Thank you for saying that nice thing, Ian. And thank you for this email, Andrew. God, who would have thunk that like this Glee podcast would have been like such, you know, an important thing to our lives. You know, we just did this for fun. We just did this for fun and to hang out. And the fact that this can be what it is I'm eternally grateful. I'll never be able to, and I also like don't take that lightly. You know what I mean? Like it is very important to me and I'm very honored, like you said, like that anyone feels this way. So Andrew, sending you so much love. Everyone, I'm sending you all so much love. I'm so grateful you're all here. I'm so grateful to have you all listening. I can't even express to you just my heart is so warm and fuzzy. So that is your mini-sode, you guys. Next episode that comes out is Makeover.
We got to do Relative Pitch.
Oh, this game, I forget.
All right, so up next, you're we going got first? The Relative Pitch game, baby. It is me first this week. We have, hold it again, obviously all the songs are by Britney Spears. And you know what? We're just going to do the Britney Spears version. We don't have to do the freaking Aerosmith song or the Justin Bieber song. So
the Britney Spears, a special Britney Spears event to really like, you know, make up for the wrongs that the show did to her. We're just doing the Britney Spears versions.
So we have Hold It Against Me, mm-hmm. Boys, Womanizer, Three, mm-hmm. You Drive Me Crazy, Oops, I Did It Again, Gimme, Gimme That Thing Called Love More, and Every Time.
You're going first this week, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. I want you to sing, do you know You Drive Me Crazy?
Crazy, I just can't sleep. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Okay, let's
do
that one.
I'm so excited. Okay. Do I think that's the key?
I don't know.
Who knows? You drive me crazy. I just can't sleep. I'm so excited. I'm in too deep. Whoa, crazy. But it feels all right. Baby, thinking of you keeps me up all night. So I think is D flat to E to F to A flat to A. So I guess actually that would be, I said that all wrong. I think You Drive Me Crazy is C sharp to E to F sharp to G sharp to A.
Awesome.
Nope. Hey friends, that's a huge lie. That is not what I sang. I sang D to F to G to A to B flat. So a half step above all that. I am a half step sharp.
That's pretty good.
No, I'm not. I'm a whole step sharp.
Do you want to hear a sweet story about this song?
What?
I was obsessed. This whole album, just the Baby One More Time album, was like, it came out, gosh, when did it come out? Like probably right as I moved to Virginia. So I was like probably 3 when it came out. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. And this whole album was like very special to me as a child. I was very obsessed with it. Very, very big fan of Britney Spears, but I like obviously couldn't tell what she was saying ever. So there's a video of me as a child singing the song, dancing to it. And then the baby thinking of you keeps me up all night. Like I never knew the words. So I was like a tiny baby and I went baby oogie oogie. And my parents still make fun of me for it. Isn't that sweet?
Oh my gosh. That's so cute.
So cute.
Hi. Okay, Lena, okay. I mean, it's, you know, it's her second most famous song of all time. You're doing Oops, I Did It Again.
Oh, perfect. Perfect.
And I want you to get up and pretend to dance while you do it. And instead just kind of lounge around the room.
Okay, perfect. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I think I did it again. I made you believe we're more than just friends. Oh, baby, it might seem like a crush, but that doesn't mean that I'm serious. 'Cause to lose all my senses, that is just so typically me.
Boom, boom.
Oh, baby, baby, oops, I did it again. I played with your heart, got lost in the game. Oh, baby, you might think I'm in love, that I'm sent from above. I'm not that innocent. You heck see, yeah. My problem is this. Papa, I'm dreaming away. God, I love Britney Spears.
So you think that I think I did it. Oh, that was so bad. I think I did it again is D flat, C, D flat, E flat, D.
Yeah.
No, you're correct.
I was?
Yeah.
Yes. It sounded different. I don't know why it did. Yes.
Heck well, yeah.
I'm on a new, I've turned a new leaf. I only get things right from now on.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's our episode, y'all. I hope you have a great rest of your week. Happy Monday. Oh my gosh. I hope this week you get big news about something fun. I don't know.
Me too. Me too.
I don't know. Keep your ears peeled for big news this week. I don't know.
If you want to follow us on social media, it is at @recoveringgleek_podcast on TikTok and Instagram. It is at @recoveringgleek on Twitter. If you want to send us your thoughts on Makeover, the next episode that comes out on Wednesday, you can send them recoveringgleek@gmail.com.
Uh-huh. Well, see you guys later. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead if you accept it.
Thank you all for being here. RG has pee. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at @recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
Verwandle deine Leidenschaft mit Shopify in ein Business und knack Umsatzrekorde mit dem Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Du hast richtig gehört. Der Checkout mit der weltweit besten Conversion. Der legendäre Checkout von Shopify vereinfacht das Shoppen auf deiner Website bis hin zu Social Media und überall dazwischen. Na, das ist Musik für deine Ohren. Wie du es auch drehst und wendest, mit Shopify kannst du zu einem echten Hit werden. Starte deinen Test noch heute für nur 1 € pro Monat auf shopify.de/rekorde.